From the ashram of our revered guru, Pujyatman Sri Swami Jyotirmayanandaji. Today is Wednesday, August 19th, 2015. Swamiji is continuing with the lecture on Yoga Vashishta. This is series 2010, class 490. And now, Pujyatman Sri Swami Jyotirmayananda.
Om Brahmanandam Paramsukadam. Kevalam Jnanamurtim Dvandvatitam Gagan Sadrisham Tattvamasyadi Lakshyam Ekam Nityam Vimalamachalam Sarvadhi Sakshi Bhutam Bhavatitam Trigunarahitam Sadgurum Tam Namami Om. Adorations to Sadguru, who is Brahman, the giver of supreme bliss, embodiment of pure consciousness, one without a second. Vast as the ether, infinite, eternal, beyond the three gunas and their modifications, the supreme preceptor. Yoga Vashishtha Nirvana Prakarana Purvardha, section 119. Prajapati Manu continues to give spiritual teachings to his son Ikshvaku. And this dialogue is being presented by Sage Vashishtha to Rama. And the topic is attaining enlightenment and all that would lead you to attain enlightenment, liberation, moksha. 119th section. This Paramatma, the Supreme Self, through avidya, end of Leela, like children playing with so many toys, and that picture is for those who are not enlightened. For those who are enlightened, this entire universe of multiplicity dissolves, and there is nothing but the Absolute Self. The point that's brought out to you is state of liberation is a matter of revelation. It's not a matter of a happening. Everything in this world you expect to happen. But liberation is not a historical event that we have simply calculated the time when it will happen. Liberation is ever-present reality. The sun is ever-present, speaking allegorically. But the same sun is playing so many roles in the form of so many reflections, so many phenomena created by the solar light. All those are countless. Somewhere the sun in a dewdrop is just shimmering and waiting to be just swept away. At another area, the same sun is in the form of rainbow and drawing poets to write poetry about it. Same sun is playing all the roles. Countless. And yet, if you are at the sun level, nothing is, sun is ever the same. And if you have both views at the same time, at the level of the sun and at the level of the earth planet, then you will find all that is that you are experiencing at the earth planet is simply a magic show. And that will not distract you. Nothing has gone wrong with the sun. The sun is ever the same. The ignorant continue to flow into this world process, led by their karma, trapped in the illusion of time, past, present and future. Those who are enlightened, for them there is nothing but the absolute self. Raga, attachment, leads to bondage. As you begin to depend upon projections, think of a cinema show. In cinema show, screen is always there. But all that you are watching and you are involved in, they are on the basis of illusion created by frames of pictures being projected in uninterrupted succession. Frame after frame is illusion is being projected. And while trapped in illusion, you are flowing with time, past, present and future. Stepping beyond the illusion, the screen is always the same. Intellect that is not enlightened is involved in a world of Maya. The enlightened intellect, this world doesn't exist. It is just like, to give simple illustrations, look up to the sky and you are seeing beautiful blue sky. But it is not there. Your own limitation in vision creates the illusion that you are on a solid earth, steady and secure, and with beautiful canopy of a blue sky. And all things are wonderful. But that's limited vision. The limited vision is not a reality. The moment that limitation in your vision is corrected, the reality is the sun alone shines. Brahman alone shines. Aho nichitra mayayam tat vishvami bohini sarvangra protava pyatma yadātmānam na paśyati. It's a great wonder, sage Manu says. The Atma, that's all permeating, that's the only reality. That Atma is not perceived by people. And that which never existed rules over the minds of all. The multiplicity of the world is a great wonder. This Maya is exceedingly wondrous that has kept this world in a state of delusion. Because of delusion, Atma, that is the reality, internally and externally, that Atma is not seen. Just like you, when you experience dream, you are caught in an illusion of illusory time and illusory space. And that the world of your dream is in reality permeated by your consciousness. And that consciousness is only real in relation to your dream. In the same way, all the experiences in the waking state, they are also like dream, permeated by Brahman alone. And again, the term permeation is just allegorical. There's nothing to be permeated. Pure consciousness is like a mirror. And all this world is reflection in that mirror. Remember, that simile has been given before. Just as while looking into a mirror, you encounter three obstacles. Try to follow the point. Mirror is placed before you, and whatever when you are seeing, your mind is already made up not to see the mirror, but what's inside the mirror. And you know what's inside the mirror is illusion. Another way of looking at it. Three defects do not allow you to see your face in the mirror. Mala, vikshepa and avarana. Mala is gross impurity. If the mirror has dust over it, you can't see your face in that mirror. Your mind is the mirror. If gross impurities are removed, now you can see your face. But suppose the hand that holds the mirror shakes, then you still can't see your face. That shaking aspect called vikshepa, distractions caused by subtle desires, vasanas. So therefore, in spiritual movement, you control mala through karma yoga, vikshepa through devotion and meditation. And the last one, suppose you have removed the dust from the mirror and you have made the mirror steady, still another obstacle, your hair comes streaming down and doesn't allow you to see your face. That's called avidya, ignorance. That's removed by tattva jnana, knowledge of the self. All that you do is brush your hair, because that's not an obstruction. So the real you is Brahman, the Absolute. But seen through the conditioned mind, that Brahman, the I am that has become multiplicity of souls. This is desirable, this is not desirable. This form of thinking, implying that people have different aspirations. Their goals are different. They define success in different ways. And they are wandering in a world of illusion. As long as there is Vishaya Bhavana, your feelings are for objects of the world, and you view that happiness you can gain from the objects, that's called Vishaya Bhavana. As long as you have Vishaya Bhavana, you are not enlightened. You are conditioned by karma, countless karmas, and countless distractions. And you go on moving in the world, cycles of birth and death, endlessly. When Vishaya Bhavana dissolves, as you begin to reflect upon who am I, and intellect becomes purified, that also is a progressive movement. To the extent there is purity of intellect, to that extent samadrishti develops. Samadrishti means God is the reality everywhere. Now imagine, you were enjoying Vishamadrishti, things always changing before you. If they don't change, it's boring vritti. But you are being led to Samadrishti. Behind all these multiplicity of objects, all objects are like waves, little waves, ripples. And behind them all there is ocean. Ocean is the reality. So no matter where you turn your eyes, you are seeing the ocean, glory of the ocean. No matter where you turn your attention, you are experiencing the glory of Brahman, the Absolute. That Samadrishti vision is the fire of Tattva Jnana, the fire of knowledge that burns down all your vasanas, subtle desires, all your illusions. O King Ikshvaku, by the practice of Samadhi, the Vishama Drishti, the idea of enjoying objects and viewing objects as countless little realities, that idea will be moved away. The world of sense enjoyment, that world will be out of your mind, as if that world never existed. Vishaya smriti, vismriti. Vismriti means forgetting the world of objects. Ishwar smriti shines. A revelation, God is the reality behind all names and forms. Names and forms, they are illusion. Therefore, by the practice of Samadhi, rise beyond the Vishaya Bhavana. The constant thinking of objects. And do not be trapped by Dharma and Adharma. That point I have explained to you. Dharma is practicing virtue. Adharma is indulging in vice. Virtue, vice. Led by virtue, you encounter prosperous situations, pleasant situations, pleasure, pain. And when there is pleasure, there is attachment, raga. When there is pain, there is dvesha, hatred. Six spokes of the world process. The world is like a wheel. And your life flows creating karmas, sometimes punya karmas or virtuous deeds, sometimes deeds based on hurting others out of greed, etc. Both types of karmas keep you involved in the world. That point I have explained. Then you shouldn't be confused. Why shouldn't one attain liberation by virtuous karmas? But the point is, your virtuous karmas should be performed with surrendered ego. If out of your virtuous karmas you are expecting ego-based personality to rejoice, then that dharma is a part of the world, bringing you into the cycle of the world process. But same dharma, if you practice as a spirit, with the spirit of surrender to God, or as spirit of worship of God, then that dharma purifies your heart and it leads you to nivritti. The subtle point is the speciality of Hindu scriptures. Rend asunder this great forest of dharma and adharma. attain Brahma Bhav, I am Brahman, and become free of grief. O son, that's Ikshvaku was his son. Endowed with Vivek, and by experience of Samadhi, become free of all illusions of the mind. Once illusions are gone, the entire universe is nothing but the Divine Self. Ye jagat Ishwar se laba lab bhara hua hai. It is overfull with God's presence. And instead of enjoying Vishaya Ras has a poison in it. Vishaya Ras means the objects of enjoyment, objects of the senses, mundane pleasure. Instead of allowing yourself to just enjoy that worldly happiness, turn your mind to enjoying Samadrishti, that God is the reality behind all names and forms. From Vishayaras to Atmaras, that change has to occur in your mind. And that can be brought out in a progressive manner. From Vishaya Ras, move towards Sattvic Ras. Move towards Satsanga Ras. And then that opens the gateway to the highest Rasa, the joy of realizing Brahman. But even at the very early stage, try to understand that Rama or God permeates this entire universe. The world is, Sanskrit words are very beautiful. Ram se Rama hua hai. The world is a Ramya. Ramya means beautiful. Why it is beautiful? Because Ram permeates it. In the next section, Sage Manu gives insight into steps leading to highest enlightenment. Jnana Bhumikas. Seven steps. And Yoga Vashita is never tired of those seven steps. O King, one should be led by scriptures and good association. That should become your early stage of spiritual enrichment, to be exposed to scriptures. That's to listen to the scriptures and what do they say. And company of good people who are devoted to God. a doer of good things. In that type of association, intellect becomes more and more sanctified, purified. It begins to see the difference between the real and the unreal, the eternal and the transient, the self and the not self. That type of vision must develop as you grow, led by purified intellect. Otherwise, all your effort goes towards things that do not serve any purpose. Rather, sometimes they are opposed to the purpose of your life. In this first stage, it's known as Shubhechha, aspiration. One develops the qualifications that are taught in Vedanta, Vivek, Vairagya, discrimination, dispassion, Shatsampat, serenity, self-control, renouncing fruits of karmas, endurance, faith, tranquility of mind. And the fourth quality, aspiration. All that begin to join in as your aspiration advances. And the most important feature of this stage, you develop a mystic ear. You begin to listen. Shravana. Until then, you have not been listening. Your ears have been plugged by raga-dvesha, attachment and hatred, likes and dislikes. Next stage you enter is known as vicharana. Another term for it is manana. Things you listen to, you do not keep them just as stored as some information. You work upon it. You assimilate it. Just like food that you eat, you assimilate it. In the same way, the teachings you hear, try to see how much can you practice it, put it in your day-to-day life. And that becomes your interest. Third state is known as Tanu Manasi. The malas of your mind, the impurities, become so little, reduced, that begin to enjoy a life of detachment. The world is there and you are not affected by it. And therefore, nididhyasana becomes possible. Nididhyasana is a constant flow of mind towards Brahman. And your soul gains powerful nourishment. The world is no longer taking away all your energy. The soul is communing with God, Brahman. That state is Tanu Manasi state. And when that state becomes much more profound, called sattvapatti, Satvapatti means illusion of ego begins to dwindle. Viveka buddhi begins to rise, begins to shine. Vivek, that all this is Brahman. I am Brahman. I am not the mind, intellect, etc. It's a kind of awakening, spiritual awakening. During that state, a yogi is enjoying samadhi, profound samadhi. That profound samadhi becomes profounder and profounder. After sattvapatti, you enter into asamsakti. Asamsakti means, if sattvapatti is the waking state, speaking allegorically, asamsakti is the dream state. And the next one, padartha bhavana, is sleep. But waking, dream, sleep is to be understood in a positive direction. Normal waking, dream and sleep are minus, if you follow mathematics. You are awake, but not real awake, it's minus awake. You dream, it's a minus. Now the opposite of that, real awakening is plus wakefulness. That comes in sattvapatti state, the fourth state. Next you step into, instead of minus two dream state, you have plus two, positive counterpart of the dream state. Similarly, positive counterpart of sleep state. Positive counterpart of dream state means, just to imagine, suppose you are experiencing dream and you have the knowledge it is a dream. How does it feel? Dream becomes playful. Things go on. Likewise, you live in the world, but your heart has opened to the highest reality. Through the window of your heart, you are seeing nothing but the Absolute. And yet, through your mind and senses, you are experiencing this world, world of limitation. The world of limitation and its impact on you becomes superficial, like little waves, while you are the ocean. And you are not going to be affected by no matter what may happen. It's called asamsakti. You become detached from the world. Go one step further, just like after, from dream state, you go into deep sleep state. You go into a state where nothing, all the world of relativity simply disappears. Time doesn't exist. As if you have gone into deep, deep sleep. And that's an internal state. A person at this stage is, even in the fourth stage, a person is called Jivan Mukta. And his mukti state goes on advancing and comes to a very advanced state when there is Padartha Bhavana. He is stepping into Videha Mukti. Though he is with body and with all that, practically he has no body. And finally, even that state is transcended. And that's called Turiya. Turiyavastha. Transcended means what? Because mind has little limitation of transcending the first step, waking, the second step, dreaming, the third step, deep sleep. I have transcended the three steps. That awareness, I have transcended the three. I am on the fourth. That in itself is a limitation. So even that moves away, because there is nothing to be transcended. When you wake up, you don't say, I have climbed so many steps in order to come from the dream to waking state. But as long as you are aware of the steps, there is a little limitation. This is all more from philosophical point of view. Whether the body exists or not, the inward experience of a sage remains unaltered. Where with body, from external point of view, all things seem normal. From sage's point of view, all things are nothing but the self. Deh dhare ka dand hai, sab kahu ko hoi. Everyone who is in embodied state goes through all the practical realities. Enlightenment doesn't stop. If your hair have turned grey, enlightenment will not make that black. Just jokingly. All external limitations will continue. At the same time, for one who is enlightened, all this is a mere dream, a dream that is getting dissolved into deep sleep. I neither live nor die. I'm neither real nor unreal. All mental concepts are transcended. Whether handling responsibilities or staying without, living alone, one who is liberated, he has attained the goal of his life. I am untainted, ageless, void of all attachments, void of all vasanas, subtle desires. I am pure like the sky. Thus having realized, one becomes free of sorrows or miseries. And with this I will conclude. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Are there any questions for Swamiji?
Yes, sir.
Namtazat, Swamiji. The scriptures talk about worlds within worlds. How do we know the enlightened state isn't just another state of illusion? Like, how do we know there isn't a... You talk of plus four. Is there a plus eight, plus 16?
Not to get too involved with illustrations. When we say somebody's face is like a lotus, don't say, why shouldn't it be like a jasmine? The idea is, the descriptions are being given to match up with the concepts of the mind so that it's easy to understand. Just like if your child comes and asks you, how does it rain? Even though you know all the scientific reasoning of rain, you can't explain that to a child. So what you explain will be always proven a lie when child grows up. Nevertheless, you have no choice but to say that. Similarly, so many similes are given to help your mind. But another point, liberation is not a matter of something indirect. Say, for example, you had a lot of a headache and suddenly a headache is gone. You don't ask the doctor, am I in an illusion? Is it another headache? I had a headache, I knew where my head was. And now I have no headache. I don't even know where my head is. Again, I'm giving you similes. The idea is, liberation is like a sick person recovering his health. Every soul is sick due to being in embodied state, due to ignorance. Removal of ignorance is a self-revealing experience, a self-proven experience. It is not supported by others. Others don't have to tell you, you are enlightened. And put some scientific instruments around your head. I say, yes, you have enlightened waves. Liberation is not that. It's your own inner awakening and experience. In that state, you have no reason to ask anybody, am I really enlightened? Or is this an enlightenment of one particular world out of many worlds? There should be no shadow of doubt. That's what direct experience is.
But if unenlightened people don't realize they're in illusion, and if enlightenment...
Unenlightened people, there are illusion within illusion.
Right.
How many illusions can be within illusion? That's again is all allegorical.
So an enlightened person, if it is actually an illusion they're in, they wouldn't know it either, because it's the nature of illusion.
Enlightened people have no illusion. Illusions are not controlling them. Like the sun is not confused when it looks down upon the earth and sees thousands, million suns shining. Allegorically, I start thinking that way. Can sun be ever confused? In the same way, when there is enlightenment, you discover you are the sun. And all your experiences through the mind, intellect, etc., are like so many solar radiations. Previously, you belonged to the world of radiations. And there was a world of multiplicity. And there was a world within worlds. But becoming as the sun, all this does not distract you. They are nothing but you expressing through limitations, through Maya, in a magical manner.
Thank you.
Thank you, Swamiji. When you said liberation is ever-present, just like the sun is ever-present, I'd never thought of it that way. But then I immediately thought, well, if it's ever-present, then is it behind me or on the left or on the right? Do I have to just stop and turn around and take it?
No. First simple point is there. When you go to sleep, what do you do? Turn around? To the right?
No.
So the way you went to deep sleep, that way, a mystic way, you come to realize, come to deepest spot within yourself without sleeping. Even sleep state, the whole world and all your miseries move away. But not for permanent. Liberation is the positive counterpart of sleep. That means, just like sleep gives you absence of everything, liberation eliminates all things. Time, space, causation, all moves away and moves away for permanent.
It seems like it should be an easy thing for a person to become liberated.
Liberated state is always there, just like if you are sick. Your healthy state is with you all the time. Until the disease is removed, you don't realize it.
Thank you, Swamiji.
No one goes to the doctor and says, well, you will cure me, but where will I find my health? That's enough now.